Parshas Chukas includes the tragic deaths and passing of both Miriam and Aharon. And the Gemara in Moed Katan talks about both of these deaths, the passing of both of these tzaddikim. When the Gemara asks, in Moed Katan, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, why is the death of Miriam nismacha? Why is it juxtaposed to the laws of Parah Aduma? And the Gemara answers that just like the Parah Aduma is mechaperes, it brings atonement, so too misas tzadikim, the death of the righteous, in this case Miriam, will also bring atonement. And the Gemara also asks the same exact question with the death of Aaron in our Parsha. Why is the death of Aaron nismacha? Why is it juxtaposed to a Parsha, to a selection in the Torah that discusses the Big Day Kahuna, the close of the Kohen? And the Gemara answers, similarly, just like the Big Day Kahuna, bring kapara, the Kohanim can only do their service in the Beis HaMikdash when they're wearing their special bigadim, the Big Day Kahuna. Therefore, the Big Day Kahuna are necessary for kapara. So too, just like the Big Day Kahuna cannot achieve kapara, so too, again, Misa Sadikim, the death of the righteous, in this case, Aaron, brings kapara. So we have the same principle, idea of Misa Sadikim Mechaper, the death of the righteous brings atonement. And we have two different examples with two different models or metaphors for this idea, respectively, the Parah Aduma and the Big Day Kahuna. Rav Kook, in a sefer called Midbar Shur, which, if memory serves, is a collection of his Divrei Torah that he delivered in a small stage in the early part of his rabbinic career when he was in Switzerland. It's an early stage of his life, way before he became the famous Rav Kook. But in that beautiful sefer, Midbar Shur, he addresses this Gemara, this episode in our Parsha, and he asks two questions, one very fundamental, one less so, but still very interesting. The fundamental question is, how does this whole idea of Misas Tzadikim Mechaper work? What does it mean to say that because a tzaddik, a righteous person, died, therefore other people, the entire generation perhaps even, gets atonement? There is an idea that death itself is a kapara, and that's not exactly easy to understand either, but at least that means that the actual person, the man or the woman who died, so their death is some form of a kapara for them. But how is the death of one person, in this case a tzaddik, whether it's Miriam or Aaron or any other tzaddik, how does that achieve kapara for other people, let alone the nation as a whole or an entire generation? That is a very fundamental question that needs to be understood if we have any idea of what this concept is. The second question asked Rav Kook is not as broad and as fundamental, but still quite interesting, which is, if we're going to make that point, why does the Gemara need two different stories and two different models to make that point? Right? It's the same point in both parts of the Gemara, so why do we repeat it, but once using the Parah Aduma as the model, and the second time using the priestly clothing, the Big Day Kahuna, as a model? It seems to be redundant. Why was it necessary for two different things? So in order to address this, Rav Kook posits the following theory. How does Misas Tzadikim work? And even though a question like that could easily be answered in a somewhat mystical vein, and Rav Kook was certainly attracted to mystical ideas, in this case he gives a very non-mystical answer, one that I think is easily accessible to all of us. Says Rav Kook, the way Misas Tzadikim works is that we become aware of many of the attributes and accomplishments of the tzaddik, and that inspires us to emulate them. We are inspired, there's a certain moral awakening, we're inspired, and we try to live up to and emulate the tzaddik's attributes. That could happen in the tzaddik's lifetime too, but very often there are many aspects of the tzaddik, of any great person's accomplishments, which are hidden from public view, sometimes coincidentally, and very often by design. The person is tsanua, they're private, they're modest, and it's only after the death, at the shiva, at the funeral, hespedim, at other articles we read, books of tribute we read, biographies, and then after the tzaddik dies, we learn about that person and we can get inspired to try to emulate their attributes. Says Rav Kook, it's not a guarantee, it's not automatic when the tzaddik dies, we're all forgiven. If we be inspired and learn and emulate and grow from learning about the tzaddik after his or her death, then that achieves a certain level of kapara. That's spiritually edifying and redeeming. That's point number one that addresses the fundamental question. Then Rav Kook, in addressing the second question, points out that if we think about it, every tzaddik, every great person's accomplishments really could be categorized into two broad categories. One are the type of things which any one of us, in theory at least, could emulate and could really achieve. If we worked hard enough, if we were disciplined enough, if we sacrificed enough, if we cared enough, then in theory we could also accomplish the same great things that these great people accomplished. That could certainly be in the realm of Ben Amlechavero, generally interpersonal relationships, chesed, kindness, doing for others, even davening to some extent. What's stopping any one of us from being great daveners? We just have to care enough and work hard enough and try hard enough, and eventually probably it will come. So, says Rav Kook, those are things which we learn about the tzaddik and we can truly be inspired and hopefully then emulate. But there's a second category of accomplishments that many of these great, great people have had over our time and history, and those are things which are frankly beyond what any person could really accomplish if we haven't given the same natural gifts and blessings from Hashem that the tzaddik, that the great person was given. To the credit of the tzaddik, they have taken advantage of and utilized and developed their natural gifts. But if it wouldn't have been for the natural gifts, there's no way even they could have accomplished it. No amount of hard work or effort could make up for a lack of that natural ability. Certain incredible, unbelievably near photographic memories or other brilliant intellectual abilities, if you don't have it, you just don't got it. And there's no way you can emulate it. So how can you, in that case, try to learn from the tzaddik about those aspects? Says Rav Kook, you can't do it yourself if you weren't given those gifts. What you can do is encourage our leaders, our great people who have been given those gifts to follow. And says Rav Kook, I guess with charity and other things, we can support people who will hopefully then have the training and the ability to achieve those things if they have been given those gifts. So the first thing we can actually do ourselves. The second category we can admire and we can help support and role model for other people who actually have the ability. Says Rav Kook, it's these two categories which are parallel to the two examples in the Gemara. Because the Parah Aduma, for all of its mystical mystery, it works on anybody, one person at a time, man or woman, doesn't matter, Kohen Levi, Yisrael, what shavuot you're from, your tameh, you sprinkle the ashes, you can get tahara, you can get kapara. So too, that's the first aspect of the tzaddik, anybody can achieve the same thing. But when it comes to the Kohanim, only a Kohen wears the clothing can achieve kapara. We all benefit from the Kohen. So too, that's the second category of things which we can't do, but other people, if we support them, can help us.